That's not our walk with God.
On Acts chapter 1, and we're going to begin at verse number 1. The book of Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1. Praise God. That song is so fitting for today. The power of the Holy Ghost. We'll talk about that. Praise God. Acts 1 and verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want you to speak to us so clearly today. Today is a life-changing day for every one of us if we would receive the word of God. There is deliverance in this word. It doesn't matter, oh God, what someone's facing, what stronghold they may be up against, oh God, what trial they're dealing with, oh God, your spirit changes lives. Your spirit impacts, your spirit empowers. And we want the word of revelation, oh God, to get a hold of us. I don't want it, oh God, to be a normal, ordinary service. I want, oh God, a true revelation of what your spirit is here for, oh God, to never allow any of us to be the same. God, when your spirit moves, there is no addiction, oh God, that can reign among us. There is no stronghold that can stay within us, God. The power of your spirit is stronger than anything, any sickness, any disease, any mental problem. The power of the Holy Ghost sets free, oh God. And so I pray your word will go forth in a mighty way. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Let the church say amen. Amen. You may be seated here in the house of God. I believe the book of Acts was written because Theophilus said, wait a minute. What happened after your initial layout of the story of Jesus? If we look at Luke chapter 24 and verse 46, we find that Luke is concluding what took place in the life of Jesus. Luke 24, 46 says, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. So be it. And that is all well and good, but it ended with a man. And I imagine Theophilus, the person who Luke was writing to, saying, what, that's it? This is where the story ends? No, in Acts, Luke was describing in detail what has become of what Jesus had presented to his disciples at the end of the Gospel of Luke. In other words, Luke told Theophilus the mighty works that Jesus did. He explained the calling of the disciples. He gave the great teachings of Jesus, along with detailing the signs, the miracles, and the wonders that Jesus showed. Luke presented Acts and the facts and the records of how Jesus took
touched so many lives, which ultimately led to his death and his burial and his resurrection. With all that being said, I'm safe to say the apostles must have been wondering, well, what happened next? What happened after the resurrection? What happened after the third day? What happened after the 40 days? Did it just ascend with Jesus looking up from his disciples up into heaven? And that's all well and good. But what happened after he ascended into heaven? And so again, the book of Acts is the follow-up presentation from the writer of the book of Luke that presents additional information to this Theophilus. It was Luke saying, oh, let me tell you that the plan of God did not end in the ascension. It was not those men and women that just saw him go up to heaven and they just went about their merrily way to Jerusalem, and that is all that happened in the life of Jesus. No, he's saying, I want to share to you that everything up to this point so far has always just been a continuation of God's plan for humanity. He's saying, I'm showing you that I'm preparing humanity for the miraculous. Everything I pointed in the book of Luke is showing you what God is getting ready to do in the last days, in the last hours. In fact, why don't we hold on a little bit to the rest of the story that he gave to Theophilus and quickly go back to the Old Testament to prove to you what I'm trying to communicate, which is again the plan of Almighty God. God has always had a plan in mind, and the story truly begins on the sixth day of creation. God breathes into the nostrils of man, and man becomes a living soul. And we see that man becomes alive when the breath of God enters into his body, and all his ability to speak, to think, to learn, to discern, and to reason and grow was based on the fact that they had the breath of God on the inside of them. Now, after sin, we know that God did not take the breath of man away, but there was separation, and there was a space between man and God, and there was a limit on what God could now do, because God cannot dwell inside of a sinful vessel. And so what I mean after this is after the fall of man, the Spirit of the Lord did not dwell inside of man, but it would be limited to coming upon man. It would be on the outside of man. But let me tell you something, even in the limited place, great things can happen, because God was giving hints that there's something so powerful and benefits humanity when my Spirit is involved. You better hear me this morning. Anytime the Spirit of the Lord shows up, wonderful things are going to happen. Anytime the Spirit of God is in an atmosphere, something is going to move, something is going to shake, and something is going to break. It came upon Gideon, and he was able to fight with boldness and an anointing he had never had before. One moment he's weak and hiding, but when the Spirit of the Lord moves upon him, he ain't weak and he ain't hiding no more. He's ready to conquer in a battle that comes his way. The Spirit of God came upon Jephthah, who was an outcast, but he was led by the Spirit to conquer 20 cities and to subdue those things that subdued the people of God. Can I tell somebody that when the Spirit comes around somebody, you can do things you never thought you could do? Oh, is there anybody struggling with problems? Is there anybody struggling to overcome something? I give you the Spirit of Almighty God. It came upon Samson. Many times we find that he slew 30 men at one time. A young lion roared against him. And the word of God says Satan is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But what I find in us, Judges chapter 14 and verse 6, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would rent a kid, though he had nothing in his hands. He had power in his bare hands simply because the Spirit of God came upon him. Can I tell somebody, you may not feel like you have much in your hands. When you got the Spirit of God upon you, you don't have to have too much talent, too much brain power. But if you got the Spirit of God inside of you, there's some things you can conquer with your bare hands. There's some things you are doing you never done before. Can I tell somebody, there's nothing like the presence of Almighty God moving in your life. Things you can't conquer by yourself. Let the Spirit of God come upon you and see what's going to happen. And even he got to a battle where he killed 1,000 men at one time. And we don't always talk about it, but in this story, it was his own brethren that turned him over to the Philistines, and they gave him over to their enemy. Why? Because they were weak themselves. Samson, you might be strong, but we're weak in of ourselves. Can I tell you, sometimes you have people around you that they don't have the same strength that God, because the anointing of God is upon you, and they might be afraid of the attacks in their lives. And so if you're trying to do great things for God, they're saying, now hold on a second. When you begin to do things for God, you begin to stir up the pot, and the enemy begins to move. That's all right. You keep on being faithful, and you'll fight for those that are weak. Come on, somebody. You keep on fighting, because your fighting opens a door for those that might be weak. You might feel like, where is everybody? How come they're not doing what I'm doing? You keep on fighting, Samson. Your fighting is bringing victory to somebody else. I tell the faithful ones, you keep on being faithful. Those of you that are praying, keep on praying. You're about to slay 1,000 things in the spiritual realm. I feel the Holy Ghost. If we keep on praying, we're breaking some strongholds that could not be broke by somebody else. But Samson said, if I gotta fight by myself, I'm gonna fight by myself. Is there anybody here? I worship alone if I have to. I praise God alone if I have to. But we're gonna have a move of God. The Spirit of God moved upon him. We find in Samuel, 1 Samuel, we find it came upon Saul, and Saul was able to do something that no one expected him to do. 1 Samuel 10:5 says, after that thou shalt come to the hill of God. Because when you get in the presence of God, you're always going higher. Did you hear what I said? Anytime you're walking with God, you're walking higher. Things are going to look a little bit better. Everything is going to be all right. Why? If I keep on walking with the Lord, I'm moving to higher. Is there a witness here that says, ever since I found Jesus, I've been walking a higher ground? I got a clearer mindset. My home is better. My finances are better. Can anybody witness? Are you here to say, I know my God has been taking me higher, taking me further? And it says, it shall come to pass when thou art come thither or close to the city that you're going to meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with psaltery and with a tabret. I think I saw Sister Robin a minute ago was looking for a tambourine. Why? When the presence of God is there, you are compelled to do something to worship him. I mean, when you really get in tune. I know some of us might not have tapped in yet, but for those of us that are saying, I'm tapping in, hand. You can't wait to raise your hand. You can't wait. Why? I know that when the praises of God goes up, the blessings of God come down. I am convinced that God dwells in the presence and he inhabits the praises of his people. Does anybody here want the glory of God to meet us here? Is there anybody here that says, I want the Spirit of God to move like it came upon Saul? And Saul was a quiet man. Saul was a man that had no pride inside of him. But what happened in verse 6 was, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and you are going to prophesy with them before your watch. And you said, I don't understand what's going on. But when the Spirit of God, I don't know why they're dancing. I don't know why they're clapping. I don't know why they're running. I don't know why they got a smile on their face. I got so many problems. I got some lost things. You see, Saul was there because he lost some things. But what happened, he watched those that were prophesying, and he may not have been able to understand it. But when the Spirit of God came upon him, I don't know what happened, but now Saul is prophesying as well. Saul is dancing as well. Saul is worshiping as well. You're saying, what happened? I tell you what happened. He allowed the Spirit of the Lord to come upon him. Maybe you're here right now and you don't know what's going on. I tell you, allow the Spirit of God to move upon you and you'll become another man. And what happened was, in verse 11, when all they that knew him before saw Saul, I knew what he was before he came to church. Husbands, wives, I knew my spouse before they got in the house of God. I know how they walked. I know how they talked. I know how they treated me. But when the Spirit of the Lord came, they testified, what is this that has come upon the son of Kish? They were talking about Saul. Saul is also among those that prophesies. I tell you, yes, anything can happen if you allow the presence of God to move in your life. Anything can happen if you would really open up yourselves to the breath and the power of God. And you know what? All these are just a few examples. And there are many more of God trying to say something to us. This is just what happens when my Spirit comes and goes. This is just a taste of what I can do when my Spirit is in the surroundings. I'm only coming upon them. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. And then he says, I'm just preparing you for the miraculous. Let me explain what I mean by the phrase preparing for the miraculous. As long as I can, or man can remember, the enemy has caused the hearts of humanity to be turned away from God. And since that is not a natural position, because we are all, no matter if you believe it or not, we are all created to have a heart towards our Creator. But through time and because of sin, many hearts have waxed cold. They don't even know what the presence of God is all about. They have all these longings and they miss the biggest one, which is the presence of God really filling up their lives. And they begin to fill it up with all kind of things that will never ever satisfy you. And so as a whole, humanity has become callous towards God, a flint and a hard heart towards God. Why? Because we have found it, be honest with me now, in possible to overcome sin ourselves. Right. Stay with me. Stay with me. Many hearts have been hardened because it seems is that I cannot please God. I can't obey his law. I can't follow his ways.
And since I feel I'm unable to walk the way he wants me to walk, then he is the one to blame. And I'll just have a cold and hard heart towards him. So humanity feels it has something impossible in front of them when it comes to their relationship with God. And then God comes and destroys that thought process. And God comes and God says, no, I am just preparing you for the miraculous. You think it's impossible to serve me. You think it's too hard to walk in righteousness. You know the end of yourself. You don't have the power to overcome the sin that has gotten a hold of you. You feel it's impossible, but I have a word for you. And he calls a prophet to bring this word and says, I am going to prepare my people who feel like it's impossible. I'm going to provide the possible. And that's what a miracle is. The impossible becoming possible. So God is saying, I'm preparing you for the impossible. What you have not been able to do by yourself because you believe it's impossible, I'm going to send my spirit and it's going to be possible. Ezekiel 36 verse 25. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean. From all of your filthiness, from all of your idols, I will cleanse you. You will not cleanse yourself. You already know you can't. Verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, I will give you a soft heart, I will put my spirit not on you. Oh, you all got it already. I'm going to put it within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall, not might, not perhaps, but you will keep my commandments and you will do them. I shall put my spirit in you and you shall live. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. If I can get his spirit, oh, come on, somebody, on the inside of me, no longer is my sin an impossible thing, but God says all things are possible. If you have my spirit, someone's going to live. If you have my spirit, someone will be set free. If you have my spirit, everything will change around in your life. If you believe it, clap your hands here in this place. We're going to take it one more step further. It was a God of glory telling his people, this is the expectation that was in me. And I've always been preparing you for the miraculous. It was always the Spirit of God that would move and come upon something and let that something through my spirit bring change. I'll prove it to you. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2. Two verses in, I'm preparing you for the miraculous. The earth was without form and void and darkness. I got darkness in my life. I got sin in my life. I got curses I think I have on my life. I got addictions in my life. I got issues in my life. I got things that I know of myself. I have not been able to shake them. I haven't been able to break them. I got some things I really need. I need some deliverance in my life. I got so many weaknesses and hiccups and strongholds in my life. I feel like that I'm without form. I'm void. I'm in darkness.
and upon the face of the deep initial state. But the Lord says, I'm not going to leave it in that place. I'm not going to leave it in that place of hopelessness. Am I preaching to anybody here this morning? And the what? The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And once the Spirit of God moved first, then he said, let there be light. You see, if you're in darkness, I tell you what you need. You need the Spirit. I'm going to say it again. You got struggles. You got issues. You got sin. That's all right. God, from the very beginning, I've been preparing you for the miraculous. He's going to speak a light into your life. But before he does, the Spirit of God is going to move inside of somebody. He's preparing you for the miraculous. For the things that are impossible, he's really preparing you for the move of his Spirit. God's trying to stir somebody right now. And I hope everybody's hearing the spirit of this message. You got things you can't fix by yourself, but he's preparing somebody who would hear it for the miraculous. Ask Mary. She said, how in the world can I be pregnant? And I've never known a man. Then Mary said to the angel, how shall this be? This is impossible. Saying, I know not a man. And verse 35 of Luke 1 says, the angel answered her and said, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will move in impossible situations, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Pastor, I got this issue. I got this going on. I tell you, for you, it might be impossible, but when the Spirit of God moves on the inside of you, nothing will be impossible. John heard what Jesus said in John 4:14. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I give shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Preparing for the miraculous, Jesus is talking, is he not? Luke 11:9, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them who ask for it. He's saying, I'm preparing somebody. I'm getting it ready. But the question is, do you want? Want what I prepared to change your life? Do you want the ingredients that I have given to change you forever? John 7:37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, and I as a preacher can understand the cry of Jesus. Because you can cry out as loud as you can, and not everybody can hear you. And imagine Jesus knowing the power he had to give. He cried out on that feast day, if any man thirst, let him come and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. John recognized something. Verse 39. But this he spoke of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. He was preparing them for the miraculous. I haven't done it yet, but I'm trying to get your attention so that when I send it, you'll be ready for it. John 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Now watch this. We all talk about the death of the cross and the blood that was shed in order to bring forgiveness of sin. And we believe with all of our heart, and we will keep on talking about the issue of forgiving of sins. But what we sometimes miss is a part, an addition to what God wanted to do. Can I tell you this morning, it was never that God was in a position of lacking preparation for all the limitations that we have because sin in our lives. God is all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful. And what God understood is that he would have to leave the portals of heaven and come down and become a man. He also understood, I need to do more than just wash away sin. In the Old Testament, I've had all types of shadows and types to point to you the need of a sacrifice in order to deal with sin. Someone said amen. Amen. I understand the sin issue, but can I tell you that year by year by year by year, they sacrifice, but never were they in a place of sacrificing where they were excited about it. Because their sacrifice only pointed to the sin issue I still have. Every time I go to sacrifice this bull, this lamb, whatever, I'm only doing it as a reminder that I cannot conquer sin. That every year I go and I do it in a ritual manner, I'm never excited about going because it points to my filthiness. And so, yes, my sins are being forgiven, but I'm not empowered over them. Can I share with you this morning? That is why and the reason why God came not only to die, he died and it was important, but he says, I cannot leave out the other part of why I came. I also cannot leave you comfortless. I know you have always had sin and I'm going to come. I'm going to shed my blood and I'm going to remove sin. But how about empowering you over sin? And that's what I've been preparing you for up to this point. It's always about me dying for your past sins. Always me trying to cover the mistakes that you had in your life. But can I preach to somebody and tell you the rest of the story is not for your sins only to be washed away, but that God also wants to empower somebody through his spirit that you can overcome sin. He came and he shed his blood to remove sin, but I'm also preparing for the miraculous. I'm saying to you, you might have been born in sin, but you, through my spirit, you don't have to stay in sin. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm preparing you for the miraculous. And that's why when we get to Acts 8:1 and verse 8, Luke is picking up the gospel story and said, I'm not done yet. After he died, after he rose, yes, your sins can be forgiven. But now I'm going to send you power to overcome sin. Can I preach to you this morning? That's the power of the Spirit of God. He's telling you, you can be set free from every entanglement, every stronghold, every barrier. I'm so thankful that my sins are washed away, but I don't want to live in sin. God says, I got you. I'm going to send my spirit, and you will walk in the power. You will walk in my presence, and you will walk in my anointing. This is Pentecost today. 50 days after the Passover, the annual day the Jewish people look back 50 days celebrating the great deliverance of God from the Egyptian people. Passing over, the death angel passed over their house, avoiding their firstborn to be smitten. And now 50 days later, we will celebrate the greatest Passover, Jesus becoming the sacrificial lamb, providing his blood, covering our sin. When we take on his name in baptism in Jesus' name, when the blood is applied, it's through baptism in Jesus' name. The blood needs to be applied over your life through the name of Jesus Christ if you have not done so. But he said, even though my blood's been applied, we still need a Pentecost. I'm closing. In Romans 8, verse 1, There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Someone lift your hands right now. The devil would love for somebody to be forgiven and yet still walk in guilt. The devil would love for somebody to know the blood of Jesus was there, but you just cannot overcome sin. You're always going to be bound with the same problem, the same sin, the same issue. And the devil wants to keep that one half of the story before you and say, yeah, he died for you, but look at you. You cannot even live for him. I'm going to tell somebody, Pentecost is here today. And if you can not only just have the Spirit of God come upon you, but if you allow the Spirit of God to come in you, it will change your life. Jesus told them, and he breathed on them, and he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. You know what he was doing? He was preparing them for the miraculous. After I breathe on you again, you're going to see things different. You're going to be empowered for your future. Do not allow the devil to tell you that you're stuck. No. Not only are you forgiven, but God has now given you the power to be made free. After Pentecost, the world was turned upside down. If you really will allow the Holy Ghost to take over your life and not just come upon you by feeling his presence around the building, but you really would submit yourself and you open up your own heart to his Spirit, you won't ever be the same. And so I want right now all over this building, I want you to raise your hand to him. And I want you to open up yourself for the miraculous to come in your life. I want you to open up yourself and say, God, there's been some demons, there's been some sins, there's been some problems in my life, but I don't want the Spirit of God to come upon me and then to leave. I want it to live in me. If the Spirit of God lives in you, you're going to overcome sin. Don't let anything lie to you and tell you anything different. If you can get full of the Spirit of God today, there's something that others will say. Something is different about that person. They've turned their world upside down. Their life is no longer the same. When the Holy Ghost got a hold of them, there come up people of purpose, a people of power, someone that's anointed now. And no matter what that weapon is, if you will get full of the Spirit of God, it will change your life. I don't care what your stronghold is. I don't care what your issue is. I don't care how hard you may think it is. What God says, all things are possible. I'm preparing you for the miraculous. Oh God, I pray you would move this congregation right now. I pray, Lord God, your Spirit will come upon those that are hungry to be different. That we won't depend upon ourselves, our own talent, our own discipline, but we would understand, Lord, I need your Spirit to come upon me, but also be in me. That's it, hunger after his Spirit right now, church. That's it, church, get hungry for what you need. You need the Holy Ghost. You need his power. You need his Spirit in you. Altars are open if you want to come down and tell the Lord, I want what you prepared. I want what you have If you made a way and you came down, and not only did you shed your blood, but you sent your spirit, then I want it, God. And not only do I want it, I need it.